Yes, actually, I've been on three occasions to Zimbabwe during my tenure at the Corporate Council on Africa. What I think most people don't understand in Zimbabwe, there is a very vibrant private sector with its challenges, like any other place, too. But that there is a vibrant private sector, and there's a private sector that's interested in a strong relationship with the United States and our own private sector. And we've also hosted Zimbabwe business delegations to our programs and our conferences in the U.S.
Your tenure, I understand, in the past 17 years as CEO and president of the Corporate Council on Africa has strengthened the political and economic issues affecting commerce between the U.S. and Africa. Can you please highlight your biggest accomplishment in these 17 years?
You know, it's interesting. I think that's an accurate statement. 17 years ago, when I came to CCA, there was almost no organization really working with Africa, certainly not on business. So we were, in many ways, the first. I think the Africa America Institute in Washington, D.C., also. And I think it's very fair to attribute a lot of that to the Corporate Council on Africa and our work. In fact, we've had government people tell us that we're the ones who really drove, in some ways, the U.S. Back into Africa. Some signs of those successes also include yesterday's Bloomberg conference.
Can you share with us your experience at the Bloomberg conference?
I think the major draw, of course, is the President of the United States. He did a very good job. The one soundbite that will probably continue is that we're looking to Africa to have a handshake and not a shakedown on business. But the president is always the draw. There were about 400 business people, the attendance 65% from Africa, 35% from the United States, which surprised me a bit. I would have expected more U.S. Participation. And it was, a steady procession of U.S. government people, but also different from the first one in 2014 in Washington, was that there were more U.S. business presenters in the overall program.
How have you been able to successfully relate with African policymakers?
I think that probably our philosophy makes us more effective than most in relating to Africa policy work. I think we're respected in Africa. And the reason I think we're respected is that we've seen Africa as partners and not as followers of U.S. policy. I think one of the most effective things we've done is aligned with indigenous business organizations. Groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce can work with the American Chambers of Commerce abroad, which they should, and I'm happy they are. But we work with the indigenous business councils that are fostering private sector. For instance, KEPSA, which is the Kenya Entrepreneur and Private Sector Association in Kenya, in Zimbabwe with the U.S. Zimbabwe Business Council. We work with the indigenous business councils, and I think that's given us a lot of credibility. Because if you're going to do business in Africa, you have to have a partner on the ground that you can trust. And likewise, frankly, if Africans are to do business in the U.S., they're going to have to need the same thing. So we've been, our strategy has been to deal as genuine equals with the indigenous business community and support the development of the private sector in Africa.
You recently endorsed Zimbabwe leader Walter Mzembe for the UNWTO Secretary General candidacy. Why do you think Mzembe is the man to take UNTW to the next level?
I'm going to tell you why. We also are the only U.S. business organization that has an MOU with the African Union. We have worked closely with the African Union, and that has been a working relationship. They supported our conference in Ethiopia, the second major U.S.-Africa business summit that we've put in Africa. It was a good relationship. Walter is not only your tourism minister, but he's also the head of the Tourism Commission for the African Union, and he's also head of the commission at the UN on tourism. And so he's, on one hand, he's eminently qualified, better, I think, than many people who hold the position of head of World Tourist Organization. Often it goes to politicians, Mr. Mzembe is a politician as well, but he also very well qualified. And so we're supporting the African candidate, and the AU has endorsed him, so he clearly is the candidate for Africa. And I think it's time an African, and one who is especially qualified for that position, be given the most serious consideration.
What is the biggest obstacle that impedes development in Africa, especially in the area of trade and investment?
It's a very good question. There's just several things, and it varies country by country. I think one of the obstacles is going to be the transition of cultures, the cultures of way of doing business. It's very difficult for a country or a society to change its culture. Cultures have developed and evolved over hundreds of years, even 50 years, and so now to become more successful in trade and development, there's going to have to be an adaptation to a global trade culture, which hasn't been in the tradition of Africa. And so that's one. But to be more to less theoretical or academic, I would say the development of infrastructure is highly important. That includes power. There's not a country in Africa that's meeting its current power needs, including South Africa. And that doesn't even take into account the future. So there's got to be electric power, because you can't do much without it. And you can't have a consistent economy without it. You can't have investors without it. I praise President Obama for, I think he got the priorities right when he announced his policies towards Africa, that Power Africa was one of the highest priorities. But development of infrastructure, I think financing is an obstacle for U.S. companies, too. We've got to find better ways to get financing so we can move faster and more nimbly in Africa. Those mechanisms really don't exist in the U.S. So there's a lot of challenges.
What has been your challenge working with African leaders as CCA?
The challenge, I guess, is getting beyond protocol. You've got to. A lot of African countries are very formal societies, and protocol is important. We're not a protocol conscious country, unfortunately, and so sometimes we offend unintentionally. But particularly in leadership, understanding the culture of how things are done, I think that's always a challenge. And then being very, very patient. Africa requires a great deal of patience to do business. We're not a very patient society, unfortunately, and I think that's a weakness for us. In that regard, those are challenges. I think one of the strengths that I have, and I have many, many weaknesses, but one of the strengths is being able to see the human side of leaders beyond just the policy. And I think that's helped us a great deal with the various African countries. Some are more difficult than others, not to mention any specific one, but nevertheless, that exists. So I've been excited by the dialogue. In my time, I think I've met with just about every African leader on the continent at one time or another.